This season of Mindfulness Music and More is dedicated to my producer, Alex Murimi, who passed away in January 2022. For three seasons, Alex was my right-hand man, producing 60 groundbreaking mental health shows. His untimely death has shaken us all to the core, and in this season, in his memory, we will strive even harder to increase awareness of mental health issues and further reduce stigma. Rest well, my friend. You are now out of pain and at peace. Until we meet again. Hello and welcome to Mindfulness Music and More with me, Shalini Bala-Lucas. As always, it is an absolute pleasure to be here with you and to bring you the fourth season of this podcast, focusing on your mental health and well-being. In this, the first part of the season, we will be talking to experts in various fields of holistic therapy, self-development coaching, and alternative healing modalities. Our lineup of guests will inspire you, inform you, entertain you, motivate you. They'll make you smile, they'll make you cry, and will always give you food for thought. So do stay with me for the next hour as we talk about mental health and mindfulness, play some music, and meditate together. My first guest today has been practicing Vipassana, an insight meditation technique, for the last 15 years. He has also done meditation and mindfulness training in Thailand and India. He enjoys cultivating inner peace within himself and wants more and more people to tap into the healing power of meditation and mindfulness. He now directs his time and efforts towards growing Conscious Kenya, an online collective of wellness and conscious practitioners and enthusiasts in Kenya. Through his work, he hopes to help others have easy access to information, support, venues, and resources for healing, peace of mind, and spiritual development. He describes himself as hopeful, visionary, meditator. Eddie Kimathi, welcome to Mindfulness, Music, and More.
Thanks, Shalini.
Eddie, you were born and brought up in Kenya, is that correct?
Yes, grew up Nairobi, so this is home for me.
So how did you come to Vipassana meditation?
Long story, I grew up in a Christian family, but by the time I was 18, I had a lot of questions about life. So I began seeking and embarked on a seeking journey, and that's how I ended up practicing Vipassana. So I tried different spiritual practices, went to different places of spiritual practice, and in 2008, I did my first Vipassana retreat, and it's been my core practice since.
That's incredible. So did you do that here in Kenya?
Yes.
And what was it about it? Sorry, go on, you were going to say.
Yeah, they have courses in Karen, Langata, so that's where I've been doing it.
What was it about Vipassana that got you so... It's obviously changed your life.
Yeah. I think, the first time I did it, I went in for 10 days. So the way Vipassana is done is you have to go in for 10 days and meditate in silence. So when I did my first retreat, a lot of answers that I had been looking for a really long time came to me. So that gave me a very profound sense of stillness and peace and calmness and quiet and contentment. So that's what really, made it click for me. So when I did it, I just knew, this is my thing.
So you said you were 18.
Yes.
When you found Vipassana.
Mm-hmm.
I've done Vipassana. It's quite a young age to come to such a rigorous form of meditation. Because as you say, 10 days of silence. How was that for you?
Well, actually, it was quite easy. If anything, I wish I had found it earlier. Because, if I'd practiced it maybe from my childhood, it would have made my schooling years a lot easier. So I feel like I still found it quite late. Something that's interesting is when I first did Vipassana is things that I used to feel as a child and then forgot, or things that left me as a child came back to me during the Vipassana retreat. So I feel like even as a young boy, I had some kind of mindfulness happening, because every time I'd go to bed, I would have this state of mind that was very peaceful, and then I lost it completely. Then in my first retreat, it came back again. So I think it's kind of been there in a sense my whole life.
Okay, well, I believe children are very mindful, and we actually knock it out of them in schools and conditioning. So it was almost like you went full circle. But for you to find Vipassana so early on in your life, I think it's early, is amazing. How do you believe mindfulness and meditation can help people, especially in today's world, which is super hectic, super stressful? Why do you think people should go towards meditation and mindfulness?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is, first of all, it helps people have a sense of confidence about life, because, you know, life, as we all know, it's got ups and downs, a lot of challenges, good times, bad times. So what mindfulness does, or what it's done for me specifically, is it's given me, I'd say, basically a baseline of happiness that's a lot higher. So even when I'm going through a really hard time, I feel like I don't get disrupted as much as I would if I wasn't practicing mindfulness. So even when life is really crazy and upsetting, I still have a sense of peace underneath it, you know, and a current of just calmness and contentment, and that's really important to have.
And that's something we all strive for. How often do you meditate?
Daily.
Okay, for how long?
Ideally, my ideal is, 2 hours or more every day. But sometimes, you know, a lot less, because I'm yet to get into a rhythm where I practice consistently every day. It's something I want to get into, you know, especially as the year progresses. I'd like to work my hours up to 4 hours a day. I've done it before, and I feel like when I really do 4 hours a day, then I really start to push the boundaries and go deeper. But with 2 hours a day, I'm quite happy.
Okay, so most people would say 2 hours a day, I can't do that. I can't even do this for 10 minutes. Do you have to meditate for 2 hours to get that feeling, or can you meditate for less? And how would you suggest people start?
Yeah, so actually, when I started, the first time I actually practiced meditation, I'd do 30 minutes, and that was a huge struggle. I couldn't sit still. My mind was all over the place. So much pain in my legs, because I have, you know, usually it's nice to meditate with legs crossed. You don't have to, but it's just the common practice. And that was a struggle, but then because I've been doing it for so many years, it's become a lot easier. And the 2 hours that starts to feel like an hour or less. So with a few minutes. If you have 10 minutes, use that. 30 minutes, use that. Then slowly you'll find you're doing more and more.
Step by step.
Yeah.
Excellent, Eddie. Eddie, let's go to your first song choice. It's Imagine by John Lennon. Why have you chosen this song?
I find it to be a very hopeful song for the world. It's a song of hope, telling people to imagine a world that's a lot better than what we have currently. And I find it quite inspiring, and that's why I chose it.
Excellent. Well, let's have a listen.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky. Kill.
My second guest calls herself Child of the Earth and believes she is a fairy in human form who works with the nature spirits, sound medicine, energy, chakras, meditation, and mindfulness. Healing sounds she works with include Tibetan singing bowls, Indian bamboo flute, and of course, voice. She is the co-founder of Conscious Kenya, where she focuses on community building, retreats, festivals, talk shows, inclusivity events, multimedia content, and indigenous wisdom. She's a public speaker and blogger. Her core defining truth is love, and her guide is nature. She describes herself as love, playful, and a hugger. Nerissa Alibi, otherwise known as Child of the Earth, welcome to Mindfulness Music and More.
Thank you, Shalini. Happy to be here.
Why the name Child of the Earth?
Wow. I think this came to me probably during a meditation, but this is because of the deep connection I feel with nature. I feel that everything that I do and have done since childhood intuitively has always been guided by my connection with nature. Whether it's, you know, sitting on the earth and feeling that grounding vibration, or sitting in front of the ocean or in the ocean and feeling that cleansing, or finding guidance by looking at the moon, or comfort and healing from the trees. And the reason for child is that humility. I feel as though this is acknowledging, for example, the Earth Mother, and the position that I take in being a channel. And yeah,
and child of that Mother Earth. Yeah. As you say, it's very interesting because nature can be very spiritual. Have you always, and a lot of people who don't find spirituality will often go into nature and say, I feel at my best here, I feel present in a way that is spirituality. Have you always felt like that, even as a child?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, this is, I found maybe during camping trips, hiking trips, my favorite thing to do since childhood is to take a long hike to a beautiful spot and then sit there silently connecting with nature, which I didn't know was meditating.
No, yeah, you wouldn't know that as a child, but now you do. Is this something you teach people? I know that sounds crazy that we have to teach people how to be in nature, but is this something you talk about and teach people?
I guess informally, in a way, and maybe just naturally, the way that I always work is with nature. So I think it infuses into the work that I do.
Okay. What about singing bowls and the bamboo flute and all these healing sounds that you work with? How did you come to that, and why?
So these are two different stories.
Okay, tell me about the singing bowls first.
Okay, so singing bowls, that one's a much more intimate and deep story, because in 2017, November, my best friend from childhood passed away, and I was on a long grieving period. And during this time, because of what I know she would have wanted me to do, I spent time in Southeast Asia exploring different techniques. And I finally got to hear the singing bowls live for the first time, though I had been meditating with them a lot. And when I finally entered into this session, which was actually held by 5 sound shamans with different instruments, those bowls spoke to me. They sent me into a trance in which I basically saw the mission of the work that I must do. I was welcomed back into this work, and so I've not looked back since.
What is it you saw? What kind of work are you meant to do?
Well, in specifically with the singing bowls, I mean, okay, there's different forms of work I do, and for me it's sound and nature, connecting with our divinity and spirituality through sound and nature as mediums, but specifically to work with the singing bowls. That was the message that I got from this vision.
Okay, and yeah, what about the flute, the bansuri?
So the bansuri, I used to play the Western flute, the metal orchestra flute, in primary school and high school. And then one day I saw the man who is my current flute teacher, who lives in Nairobi, performing. And it was the most beautiful sound I ever heard when I heard this bamboo flute. And afterwards, I was a very shy kid, but I went up to him and I said, "This is the most beautiful sound I've ever heard. Thank you." And then he said, "Come and see me. I have something for you." He gifted me a flute.
Wow.
My first flute. And it actually collected dust for 12 years until a few years ago, when I was in India on this same trip, actually, the same trip that I was grieving my best friend on. And I decided to pick up the bansuri again. And I bought a bansuri there and I started practicing. And then the the teacher I was practicing from on YouTube is called Himanshu. So when I came back and I contacted my flute teacher here, that's Kirit, and I brought my dusty flute out, which is the flute I brought with me today, he told me that his teacher was Himanshu, the same guy I was learning off YouTube with, and this flute was from him.
Oh, wow.
So that's the story.
What a fantastic connection.
Yeah.
And I don't believe in coincidences, but definitely a connection there. I'm so excited to... Listeners, we're going to be listening to Narissa playing the flutes shortly, so stay with us. But first, let's go to your first song choice. It's Little Beckon. And I listened to this, actually, before the show, because I wanted to know what it was like. Wow. Tell me why you've chosen this song.
Well, the singer, Ayla Nereo, I find her to be maybe a muse of sorts. She is so connected with nature, and all her songs, she infuses the human experience with nature. So in this song, she says, "Your tears are healers, let them run like rivers." And to me, this is acknowledging the different experiences we have as humans. It also reminds me of the quote, "No mud, no lotus." We have to go through different periods in order to grow, different difficult periods in order to grow. And tears are not a bad thing. Allow them to run, allow them to flow, and learn from them and grow from them. So this is why I love this song. It's encouraging and beautiful.
Okay, well, let's have a listen.
How do you do when the rain gets under your skin? Leaking tadpoles like it's a whim. And what do you say when it's all gone sideways and fools, and your heart won't beat with the rules? Little backing like a shoot on the path, you're pushing past these boulders, pushing past these boulders. How do you do
Welcome back. You're listening to Mindfulness Music and More with me, Shalini Bala Lucas. And in the studio today, we have Eddie and Narissa from Conscious Kenya. Eddie, what is Conscious Kenya?
Conscious Kenya is an online wellness village. We're a community of people who want to pursue and build or basically adopt conscious living into their lives. So we're all about holistic wellness, spiritual nourishment, mental well-being, emotional health, basically anything that supports mind, body, and spirit. We're trying to bring people together in an online community and offline by extension. And also, they're trying to support practitioners who are doing work in this space so they're able to interface more easily with people looking for tools, resources, for spiritual, mental, physical nourishment.
When did you actually form this, Narissa? Which year did you form Conscious Kenya?
This is an interesting one because I think it's been forming over many years. We feel that the seed has been in the collective consciousness, so we can't even take credit for having co-created it. And offline, before COVID hit, we were first separate and then together holding gatherings at the Arboretum for meditation and other forms of spiritual exploration. Now, when COVID started, so I think this was around March 2020, we were now in lockdown, we couldn't meet, and this is when Eddie was actually in lockdown in Meru, and he coded it from scratch because he said, okay, now this is the chance for me to put my skills to use and create a platform that will be even bigger in bringing together Kenyans and in the future people across Africa who are looking for healing, wellness, and spiritual awakening.
When you say coded, Eddie, was that you actually creating the website?
Yes, I was in my little house. My mom has a small house in Meru, so I was there for 6 months during the Nairobi lockdown, just spending hours and hours, building what became Conscious Kenya, well, the website.
Wow, so it's very new. It's only a couple of years old, really. Why did you feel the need, Narissa? Did you feel that there was a need, especially over COVID times, for such a platform?
Definitely. There's a lot of need for support with mental health, with physical health, with spiritual health, just connecting to healing, all of these things. And now this was increased during the COVID period when people were sort of sent home and we all had to face our demons, face the things we had been hiding from. And so this was a really crucial and key time to try to start supporting this journey. And also just to look at this from the collective consciousness level, on the global level, on the global scale, there has been, now that we've all been sent home to look at ourselves and examine, we've had to, we're all upgrading our consciousness. So we're now playing our role with Conscious Kenya to support this.
It sounds amazing. Narissa, how did you meet Eddie? How did that connection happen? Do you remember?
We have a mutual friend who is my cousin, and we used to go for events together, but I think we really connected through now meditation. Okay. Because I was holding, when I first studied my singing bowls, I was now holding free sessions when I was backpacking in Zanzibar, and he designed a poster for me, and that's how we got talking. And then over the next year, we started holding events together at Arboretum once we found out that we were independently holding meditation gatherings.
So, and do you still hold those gatherings?
There is one coming up on March 6th.
Okay, fantastic. Well, we'll give people your details to contact you if they're interested in meditation and where to go and when. Tell me, Eddie, you've chosen a quote that I find very interesting. It's by Sadhguru. It's the only way out is in. What do you mean? What does he mean?
What's interesting actually is it's a quote I say to myself a lot. So I actually thought, it wasn't really a quote. Then I looked it up online and I found out actually somebody else had said the same thing, and also Sadhguru apparently has said it, so I think it's a quote that's out there. But what it means for me is that, life is very unpredictable and we can't control outward circumstances. And the only real confidence, well, personally, that I have and I've gotten through my practice is, by going inside, finding out who I really am, you know, finding those inner spaces of calmness and peace and contentment and happiness, that's the only place where I have some sense of safety. You know, at the end, you know, we all move on. We're not on this world forever. And the only real treasure I know is what I find when I'm deep within myself.
So I really resonate with that, but I also think it's such a profound quote. It's so short, but it says it all. And from what you've said, it means a lot to you. Thank you for sharing it with us. Narissa, your quote is by the late monk Thich Nhat Hanh. He said, "Meditation is not to escape from society, but to come back to ourselves and see what is going on. Once there is seeing, there must be acting. With mindfulness, we know what to do and what not to do to help." Lovely quote. Why does it resonate with you, Narissa?
It's like there are two voices that sit on maybe my two shoulders and two different areas and groups of even people in this world that I resonate deeply with. One are the activists and the people who are really taking action in the world, and the other are the people who are going deep within and doing the healing work within themselves. And to me, these are not meant to be two separate groups. They need to interact with each other, because we cannot do meaningful work in the world if we're coming from a place of anger. And in order to cultivate that peace within us to manifest in the external world the change we wish to see, we need the internal work. On the other hand, we can't just stay in ourselves and not do anything in the real world. So to me, it's the combination of the two that helps us to be the best people we can be for ourselves, for those close to us, and for the world.
How beautiful. Thank you. That's such a lovely way to look at the world and ourselves. Thank you. Eddie, I'm going to cast you away to a desert island. I promise I'll send Narissa too. But if you could only take one book with you, what would it be?
Probably a book called The Abhidhamma. It's a text. It's a Buddhist text. And it goes into great detail, basically, about the nature of the mind and consciousness. And I think that's what I'd want to have with me.
Okay. And if there was only one song you could play, what would it be?
Probably Over the Rainbow by Ease.
Why?
I think it's a really... It's got a happy feeling to it. You know, when I listen to it, it makes me happy. It's a reminder that the things that we want to achieve, happiness especially, is possible. And, you know, it's always nice to take a break and leave our worries behind for a little while.
Fantastic. We'll listen to it shortly. And finally, if there was one luxury item you could take, what would it be?
Definitely my meditation cushion, a really good one.
Your Zafu meditation cushion.
Zafu, exactly.
Fantastic. Yeah, I can just see you on a desert island. So you'd have all the hours to meditate. Mm-hmm. So that would be great. Okay, let's have a listen to your song choice, Over the Rainbow.
Somewhere over the rainbow, bluebirds fly, and the dream that you did to, oh why can't I? I, well, I see trees of green and red roses too. I watch them bloom for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Well, I see skies of blue, and I see clouds of white, and the brightness of day. I like the dark, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people passing by. I see friends shaking and singing, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry and I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than we'll know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. World. Someday I wish upon a star, wake up where the clouds are far behind. Like a lemon drops high above the chimney top, that's where you find me. Oh, somewhere over the rainbow, way up high, and the dream that you dare to, why, oh why can't I ooh, 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 ooh,
Welcome back. You're listening to Mindfulness Music and More with me, Shalini Bala Lucas. Every week we do a meditation, and today we're very lucky that we have Narissa, who's brought her flute in. So listeners, I'd like you to use this as a listening meditation, just a minute or so, really focusing in on the sounds of the flute and allowing them. I'm sure they'll move your soul, because the flute is such a beautiful instrument and Narissa plays it so well. So let's have a listen.
Thank you.
How beautiful. Thank you so much, Narissa. Please do join us again back at the mic. I'm sure listeners will just have been blown away by that. Thank you. I'm a little bit speechless. Narissa, if I were to cast your way to the same desert island as Eddie, what's the one book you'd take with you?
I would take an empty journal so that I can fill it with all the stories and experiences I go through there.
Okay, I'll definitely give that to you. And maybe tell us your story through that empty journal. That would be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to allow you one song, what would it be?
On the desert island, I would take the Avalokiteshvara mantra, sung by Ani Choying Drolma.
Okay, why would you choose that particular song?
I love this mantra. It's the mantra of compassion, and it sends me into a place of deep peace and spirituality. It would help me to get through surviving on the desert island, and Ani Choying sings it in the most beautiful way.
Thank you. Well, we'll have a listen to it at the end of the show. And finally, if there was one luxury item you could take with you, what would it be?
I would take my Maasai shuka.
Why?
Because it's got so many uses. I could use it to sleep in, on. I could use it as a picnic mat, as a towel, as a scarf, a shelter from the sun, warmth from prevention from of cold.
You've really thought about this, haven't you? Fantastic. Thank you so much, Narissa. Thank you, Eddie and Narissa. I'd like to present you with my book, Happiness Is It Simply a Mindset Shift? And I'm also going to throw in Always With You, because you can read each of them and exchange them. It's a thank you for appearing on this show. To all my listeners, these books are now available at Textbook Center and Rafa Books in Kenya and Amazon worldwide. Please also follow me for more mental health tips, mindfulness meditations, and lots more on my social media at Just Joom. Eddie and Narissa, please let us know what your final message is that I'm sure you'd like to share to our listeners, because you've both been an absolute inspiration. So, Eddie, with you.
I'd like to welcome everyone who's interested on this holistic well-being journey to check out our website. It's consciouskenya.com. You're more than welcome to come join the community, share your ideas, your passion. We're always looking for people to collaborate with. So, karibu.
Fantastic. And Narissa, what would you like to say?
I think I would say, no matter what you're going through, don't forget that everything, as Goenkaji says from the Vipassana, everything that arises passes. And don't forget to connect with yourself on a daily basis, whether this is grounding by walking on the earth, listening to music that gives you peace of mind, meditating. Just find what it is and don't forget to, yeah, look within.
Fantastic. Thank you. I know you said that you gave us the website. What's your social media handles, guys?
At Conscious Kenya. This is on Instagram, Twitter, on Facebook. We're also Conscious Kenya, and the website itself is consciouskenya.com.
Okay, listeners, you can't forget that. It's Conscious Kenya. It's really simple. To all my listeners, if you or someone you know is struggling with any mental health issues, please do seek professional help, whether that be a counselor or your doctor. You can also open up and share your feelings and mental health issues anonymously without fear of judgment on Bonga, www.bonga.or.ke. This is a safe space where you can start the healing process. To play out the show, we're going to listen to Narissa's final song choice. I'm Shalini Bala Lucas. I'm grateful to all of you for your time today. Thank you for listening, and until next week, stay happy, be mindful.
Shvaraya Bodhi Sattvaya Mahay Sattvaya Mahakarunikaya Adhyayan Dham Dharadara Dhire Dhire Duru Dhoiru Ittewa
It turns while I'm hopping.